The Friend Zone podcast is brought to you by Talkspace. Now, thanks to Talkspace, anyone can get therapy without having to travel to an office, and better yet, without breaking the bank. Start Talkspace now and get matched with your hand-picked, licensed therapist that will understand exactly how you're living today. To sign up or to learn more, go to Talkspace.com/zone. Or use the Talkspace app and enter coupon code ZONE to get $30 off your first month and show your support for this podcast. Talkspace, therapy for all. This week's podcast is also brought to you by Aptiv. Everybody loves fitness classes, but they can get so expensive, not to mention time-consuming. Thankfully, Aptiv offers on-demand fitness audio that combines the guidance of a trainer with the perfect playlist to give you a fresh way to work out. You can get unlimited access to classes in running, cycling, elliptical, yoga, strength training, and race training right now. And with HealthKit integration, you'll be able to track your progress and access all your workout data in the Health app. Just go to Aptiv, that's AAPTIV.com to get started, and get a 30-day free trial when you sign up for a monthly subscription using the promo code FRIENDZONE. Aptiv, fitness that you can look forward to.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone. Don't mean to disrespect, but don't
say. Oh, you know, so, okay, so let me just take it to the part.
Thoughts of you rule my world. Thoughts of you rule my world. I wonder if you even notice me.
My name is Dustin and I'm pretty, you can see that. I don't need you to tell me Nick Paddywhack. Give a dog a bone or put me on your phone. I guarantee I make you and your boyfriend get on bone. I'm from a new generation. It's an idiot running the nation. These niggas on TV talking out their mouth like they ain't looking at you and me on the other side of the television. I used to even watch Spanish Univision. Everybody knows Salvador Gigante. I never knew what they was trying to say, but I knew that I wanted to be entertained. The point of me saying that is that the game ain't changed. It's still room for everybody, inclusion. Everybody that voted for him made a bad decision. I want y'all to know that. And everything that you do is all your fault. It's like you was smoking crack when you hit that button to pools. And everybody know because you're watching the news. And we gonna talk more about it when we start the show. And everybody know it make me mad, but I gotta go because it's the beginning and it's money on the flow. So we finna start the motherfucking Friend Zone.
Y'all out here forgetting.
Yeah, that's forgetting. My song.
Yo, Teacher Moses had them tracks. Look.
She did.
Look, we doing the music. No, I'm sorry, but there was some bops off that particular
my heart
project.
Felt a little something.
Backstroke.
Ooh. Last Day.
Last Day.
Oh, my God. Oh, you better get that bitch told tonight. I would never want to go through this again. Hey, yeah. You better tell her.
Ooh,
you
that was
tell
a jam.
Her,
and then,
tell her,
me. With Rafael Sadiq. And then
I want to go. Hey.
Make me
the
feel.
The place we used to be.
Like we did the very first time we advertised.
Oh.
Love the hand, though.
The advertise. Like that video.
Spend the day with my angels at the beach.
Ooh. She has such a, her voice is so youthful and cute.
It is.
Right?
She Deidre sounds Moses, hella young. Man. See, I just want to listen to her talk.
She another one to take off her shoes when she performed.
Mm-hmm.
She was performing at the SOBs with her shoes off.
And clean feet. And clean feet, Kesha.
This was some years ago.
Clean feet, Joss Stone. Now, Joss Stone can sing, but them feet, that's where she got her namesake.
Yeah!
Stone.
Are you digging on me?
Angie, too. You know Angie Stone got bad feet. You can look at her and tell.
As a cheetah woman.
With purple toenail polish. A cheetah woman. Tell the people what cheetah woman means. Don't be having me just saying it like I'm crazy. Tell them what
it means.
Offer context. Offer context.
You are the one that started
cheetah
woman. You
gotta follow up with it.
What is cheetah woman?
Thank you, friend. A cheetah woman is. No, I'm just playing. Long story short,
yes.
A cheetah woman comes from back when we used to watch that talk show that must not be named,
mm-hmm.
where one of the panelists, Adrienne Bailon, she was on a red carpet. And on Fashion Queens on Bevy Smith was discussing what Adrienne had on the red carpet. And as you know, Adrienne used to be in the Disney group, the Cheetah Girls.
Oh, yeah.
So Bevy Smith says, that ain't no Cheetah Girls, that's a Cheetah Woman, right? So, of course, we fall out laughing. So fast forward to R&B Divas, Angie Stone used to always say this one phrase. It would just find its way in her just vernacular, I guess we can say. She would always say, as a woman, that's how she would approach everything.
I would come to you as a woman.
And it was an exchange of the hand. As a woman.
I laid my life down as a woman.
So these fools.
I brought my ego in as a woman.
So Asante and Kid Fury, and later on Drew Shay, we all started saying, well, really Asante started it, but he integrated the two. So he acted as if Angie Stone saying, I'm coming to you as a cheetah woman, because she was so funny. So it has just stayed around.
Because as a cheetah woman.
Oh my God.
Y'all are a movie, for real.
A cheetah woman.
It's a movie. As a cheetah
camera
woman.
Block. 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 Block.
Oh, my God.
How were your weekends?
Oh, fantastically well.
Mine was awesome. Shout out to Philly. We got to go to the City of Brotherly Love.
Oh,
one of the final stops on Kid Fury Live. Philly, y'all show so much love. The Roots Picnic was super lit.
Hey.
Got to see Scotty B, man. Karen Civil, I was in the building looking good. You know what I'm saying?
You said Carrie Hilson was
Karen Civil.
Karen Civil. Shout out to Karen Civil.
I always run up around back. I saw her. I went, Karen Civil, is that one I say? Like,
Civil.
And then we was just doing the whole festival thing. We looked very festival chic. You know, cute. Her more so than I, because she's Karen Civil.
How many cities are left?
I'm glad you asked, friend. This weekend marks the last of the cities.
Oh, no.
On Friday, Toronto. Mm. On Saturday, D.C. And on Sunday, the last leg is Charlotte. So it's bittersweet. I'm glad that I will be able to play my games for a long period of time. But I am also very sad that I will not get to see any more awesome faces for a while. So it's just been cool partying, living it up in the cities with everybody doing Kid Fury Live. So KidFuryLive.com for the Furious Thoughts tickets for the last of this leg. But I'm sure there will be more. So keep supporting, keep listening, keep watching. We'll be there.
Right.
How was your weekend, friend?
That's what I want to know.
Mine was actually kind of sad.
No, what happened?
Well, Saturday was good. I surprised my little cousin because he just graduated from high school. And, you know, when you're on the road, you miss out on a lot of, like, important friend and family dates and things. So I was happy that I was able to surprise him. He was so excited and all his friends were like, hi. So that was cute. But then Sunday was really sad. My grandma is starting to develop Alzheimer's. And she's, you know, you move through the different stages of it. And for the first time ever, she didn't know who I was. So that was kind of a hard pill to swallow when someone who's known you since day one can look you in your face and ask her home attendant who I was. So that was tough. I'm still processing how to deal with that. And then later on, I went to hug her. And I guess my scent triggered something, because then she looked at me and started crying and remembered who I was.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, it's tough.
I know how that is.
Yeah, man. It's just something I've never, like, experienced. No, I've never been around someone dealing with Alzheimer's, so.
I dealt with some guilt myself when I went to Chicago because my grandmother actually deals with that.
She has Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and I didn't have a close relationship with my grandmother growing up. So for her to not remember me was kind of like this is messed up. But to watch her not remember my mom and her brother was just like super, super hard. Because just to see my mom going through that.
How's your mom processing that?
I mean, she's still working through, you know. Our grandmother, she's still here. So luckily we still have the blessing of going to see her when often. So my mom actually will be in Chicago next week to see her. So we're still keeping up good spirits. And you looking good. You got your Sade shirt on. Not looking like what you're going through right now.
That's right, Fran.
Trying, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the red, white, and blue. Okay, real patriotic on them.
Do what I do. My grandmother got Alzheimer's, right?
Really? Yours too? Super bad. Oh, my goodness, y'all.
My grandfather had it, but my grandmother has it right now. I posted a video of me playing the piano with her like a couple months ago when I went home. You remember that?
I do.
I make her laugh, and I make her have good times because it triggers memories for her for some reason.
Right.
So I was saying, like, you know, gentle cuss words and stuff like grandmother. I call my grandmother grandmother. So I'd be like, grandmother, what is this shit they trying to make you eat? And she would be laughing. Don't you let him hear you say that? Like, you know, make her so just make her feel good, friend. Make her laugh.
Yeah, that's. I didn't really know what else to do because I didn't want to like cry or make it worse or you know or trigger her. Yeah, because you know, she doesn't know what's going on. But so I just of course bought her like plants and to kind of just like cheer her up and some flowers and her favorite candy. She's always loved Reese's Pieces.
Bless her heart, friend.
Right. So you know just and like we took her a shower and of course she always used to love me to put lavender oil and coconut and massage like her hands and give her like a manicure, just like the regular things that she liked. But I guess it's just hard to for someone to look you know, I don't know, it's that moment
there's
when she looked
cold
at me
about it that just hurts your feelings.
Yeah, when she
bit.
Literally said, I don't know who this is, and she asked the home attendant, who is this? And the home attendant was like, you don't know your granddaughter? She was like, I don't. I was like, wow, this is like this is real life right now.
And the
now.
Way that it happens too, like how they'll be in one thought and then the next one is like, you know, where am I? And it's like, ooh.
Yeah, and she was just kind of like looking out the window. And then, like I said, at one point I went to hug her. And I guess, you know, like I said, I'm assuming it was my scent or my hair. I don't know. But that's when, something kicked in and then she just
brought
like,
her back.
Yeah, but then she cried because I think in
she
that moment, yeah, she realized like this is bad. Like it hit her in that moment, but then she goes away again. So it's just like the process of just
watching that.
Yeah. So that's,
I'm sorry.
Gonna be that's a new chapter. I guess those of you who are dealing with it, that are listening, I'm sure some of you have been dealing with it for a while. Cause she's still healthy, like, you know, she looks great, she looks fine, but just, I don't know, something new for us to all process in life. That's something else.
One of them chapters.
Yeah, I didn't know that both of your grandmothers had it too. Wow.
We'll talk. If I get it, right, and y'all still don't have it yet, just make me laugh. Y'all know. No matter what.
I'm gonna be
like,
Dustin, you always said go second.
That's it. See? See? That. Just make me, that's what's gonna make me happy is to make me happy.
I will have Moon River ready for you.
Talking about Moon River. Like, do bad things that I don't know are like things you're not supposed to do so I can make it, like, do it in front of me so I can be like, ooh, she breaking the rules and get excited. Like, give me
some music video playlist ready, you know, featuring LaBelle and stuff.
That's right. And tell me how lucky I am that I don't have to think about certain shit that's going on right now.
That's
yes.
real.
Tell me that. You
yes.
know what I'm
like
saying?
You reached that age where you ain't got to weigh
that's
in
right.
on shit. You ain't
well,
gotta
you know,
worry
you
about
got
nothing.
The magic ticket, Dustin. You know what I'm saying? Y'all start telling me that kind of shit.
Oh, that's a silver lining.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, let's jump into Ooh. The show, shall we?
Okay. Jump right on in. Okay, dive in that mud.
Not that this topic is going to be any.
Oh, hell no. I'm going back into the hotel.
Like, you know, you're on vacation, you go outside, and it's like, oh, it's about to rain. Oh, it's some bull swing.
So on last week's show, we discussed a Fader article that talked about binging, this new culture of binging. And a lot of people were like, hold up, I've been binging before Netflix. They said that when you have on demand, you can literally binge shows all the time, which is true. I didn't think of that. But I guess when we say the culture of binging, it's that TV shows now release seasons in the format of every episode, as opposed to you catching up. You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't want to say, but I used to bootleg, you know, and you know, when they had the torrents, you could somehow download seasons before they would come out of shit. And I would
what?
Be like,
before they
yo,
come out?
I kid you not. I was like, I would see stuff
How
come out.
How do people do that?
I kid you not. There were old forms and they would have like movie screeners and shit. And I would be like, this shit ain't even out yet. How y'all got this? And it was like high quality. But you know, I couldn't talk about that because I ain't want the government coming after me. I got no money. Yes.
Mr. Robot over here. So, as always, you guys had amazing things to add to the conversation. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to Ariana. Ariana actually is out in Haiti. Listen to us. Thank you. I've been listening to Friendzone for a year, and I'm so happy I found the podcast. I finally decided to write you all after this week's episode because I found the association between depression and Netflix binging quite interesting. I'm a public health professional, so of course I needed to look at the data to fully inform myself. I found that there have actually been several research studies on mental health and binge watching, something I would have never thought about. A few years ago, I went through a depression stage, and after watching Avatar The Last Airbender, Nickelodeon series, best show ever, if you are into spirituality, as it talks about chakra cleansing, Hinduism, Buddhism, finding one's
what?
Calling, etc. Yes. Yes. Avatar talks about all this stuff. You know,
and you haven't put me on.
I thought you would have known. Avatar is in English on Nickelodeon.
I
thought you would have known about
it.
Oh, no. The movie is a terrible
more.
Pretend the movie
okay.
never happened.
Got it.
The cartoon, way better. Season one. Don't even worry about season two with Cora the Lesbian. We'll get there at some other point.
Got it.
Anyway, and physical activity assisted me in getting through my hard, rough patch. Recently, there was a study showing that too much time on social media is associated with feelings of isolation. So I thought that it was super dope that they were really just saying that they binge watch something, but it was kind of for a beneficial reason. And we did touch on that a little bit last week. Like, not all binge watching is bad, but it does factor into some depression and it could factor into some productivity, depending on what you're using it for. But also social media binging, too, can be too much. You got to curate. You got to take these breaks and remember that your thoughts are your own and you don't got to worry about the herd.
Right. And a lot of the psych students, I love y'all. Y'all be so excited to school us. Mm-hmm. They were like, correlation mm-hmm. does not mean that it's the cause. It's not the same thing. They were saying that, you know, you have to make it clear in these studies. But I thought I said in the study that there was no conclusion, that they were like, you know, still gathering the data and,
right.
and mm-hmm. kind of like studying the different test groups. But people were saying, you know, in psych classes that it's not just because it's correlated, it doesn't mean that binging is causing, like, physically
right.
causing the depression. Which,
like, this is it.
Yeah.
We
like,
know
this
your depression.
Why.
You've been watching too much of this shit. Cancel your Netflix. You're wasting your money.
Right. But on SoundCloud, Tamika Time said, thank you for this episode and the show in general. I can see how binge watching can lead to depression and sadness, but the opposite has worked for me. It gives me things to talk about when I'm with friends or coworkers, mm-hmm. and it also keeps me out of real life drama. I hang out with lots of females, and if I'm binge watching my favorite show, I'm minding my own black business at home.
Okay. I knew I was going to like her when you said her name was Tamika, because I thought about Tiny.
So I thought that was a cool different response, where she felt like it actually yeah. works for her. It helps her mind her business and have things to talk about with her friends. So what stood out to you, Dustin?
She's level headed.
she agreed with
like
you
her.
And your points last week.
You'd see. Yeah, so I'm back to tell you guys what I dug up. Hemi Street. Okay, this week's first tweet comes from thatgrapejuice.net. Really, really cool pop culture blog out of the UK. they tweeted that they've posted a headline last Friday that Saddam Hussein spent his last days listening to Mary J. Blige.
Right. You know, I saw that. Was you that for real?
I did see
that.
Serious. Listen, they said that.
I thought that was the Onion.
Yep. There's a group of. I did too at first, to be honest, to be truthfully honest. I thought it was.
Right. I wasn't clicking on none of that.
I was having that Britney Spears moment all over again. Like, this is a damn. Like, y'all got to be kidding me. But there were a group of American soldiers who were with him while he was awaiting trial for his crimes against humanity in Baghdad. And they're now speaking openly about his behavior while he was behind bars. One of them is Mr. Will Bardenwerper, who penned the book The Prisoner in His Palace, Saddam Hussein, His American Guards, and What History Leaves Unsaid. Will revealed that the dictator would often listen to the radio on the hunt for a jam and would only be satisfied when Mary J. Blige's music came on.
She was teaching him resilience.
Mm-hmm. They said he loved Family Affair, sincerity, and everything. But it didn't save him from what happened on December 30th, 2006. So I just thought that was just...
Right when I laughed, he had to hit us with that line.
I can't believe it.
Just cut me short.
And I cannot believe you are that stupid news. Amazing. I'm sorry. Isn't it? Can you believe it?
And they said that he was like gardening and listening to me. What? Can you please picture this?
Impact.
I hope they do a movie about him and have that scene.
I hope they put that part in the Mary J. Blige movie because you know if it's a Mary J. Blige movie.
Oh my God.
Maybe. When I tell
you, wonder how Mary J. feels about that.
She would. I think if we talked to her, if I... talked to her and included, you know, if reassured her that we was going to have her involved and she had like complete creative control, which that's what you would want because Mary is one of the ones who's known for being real and transparent. So you know she's going to put the juice in the movie.
Who do you think is hot now that could play Mary J. Blige?
Who could play Mary J. Blige?
Let's just think about that for the duration of the episode. We'll revisit it a little later.
Lupita Nyong'o.
That would be Emmy worthy if she could play Mary, like do a perfect English accent and really embody.
She could. Lupita.
I would be like, Lupita ain't got to do shit for the rest of her career after doing that.
You think Jennifer Hudson could do it?
She's an over singer. That's too much.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too much. Too much.
What about Tracy Ellis Ross?
No.
Think about Canada. Cinco de Mayo is holiday time. Remember what she was singing?
Oh my God. And then she does
what about
it every
LaToya
year.
Luckett?
Oh, she you know what? It. That's a really good.
I just
yes.
tweeted today that she needs to get an Oscar playing Natalie Cole. She
you did. You did.
She's an actress, right?
Yeah.
Am I tripping?
No, she is.
I could see her playing a young Mary J. with the blonde braid and the hat and the swoops. And
we got a Mary J. You heard it first on the Friend Zone. Fran Cast, give it the credit, y'all.
I see it.
Who can play Ken Do? let's see. George Zimmerman. Who else can play
Mr. Ken Hankey
Do?
The Christmas Poo.
Mr. Hankey the Christmas Poo.
No.
That Ain't No Damn Puppy from Martin. Who else can play?
I really thought this mic was going to fall out and hit me. That's what it should have done.
I'm thinking he's going to give real answers.
Monique. Okay, real shit. God. Real talk, right? Real talk.
Okay,
look at her face. And think about when she had that short wig on in Precious.
Jesus.
Remember when she had that natural, that short natural in Precious? She
I'm
can
not,
play Kendall.
I'm not.
Monique could play Kendu. That's her next Oscar. Best actor on their ass.
No.
It's a new Oscar. Best actor for Monique.
Please stop.
Terrence Howard.
Oh my God.
To play Kendu? No, because we like him. It's got to be somebody we sick of.
Omar Epps. No, Cuba Gooding Jr.
He needs a minute. He does.
He has the facial structure. I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I know I can hate him too.
You know who else could play
this?
Kendu?
Sounds like such a Lifetime movie cast.
Does it?
Stevie J.
Yeah. So it would be good. But anyway, that's that. We don't even have to talk about no more tweets, do we? I feel like that's enough.
I just want to give a really random shout out to Lo Dunnit. That's at Lo Dunnit on Twitter, LODUNNIT, #TheFriendZone. She quoted one. Yola the Great from Atlanta, but she remixed it and said, nigga, get yourself together. Get yourself together. Go give your brain a bath, because who in the hell wants a musty brain?
Remix.
So shout out to you for that, because I love that line in the song when he says, need to get yourself together. Go give your brain a bath. Go to church. Start get listening. Get on the right path.
That's right.
So you just finished it. It's a synonym. I like that.
I got a couple more tweets. They're really quick, though. One is to at Star of My Own Life. Her name is Kia. And she tweeted that she said, I was laughing so much at my desk listening to Dustin Fran and Asante on the Friend Zone that my coworker asked me, was I okay? And I just want to give a really quick shout out to Coley Cole 2003, who said my favorite Jefferson episode was George killing it at the disco, aka Saturday Night Fever. It was the best episode of the Jeffersons ever. George and Helen both got addicted to going to this disco called Dirty Betty's. That's your homework this week. Look up the Saturday Night Fever episode of the Jeffersons when George and Helen got addicted to going to Dirty Betty's disco. It is hilarious. Last shout out, I mean it, goes to known as _ETAP, who said, look at Dustin is really an amusement industry enthusiast. I never find people like me who are enthusiasts too. Love you more now. Shout out to you. And he's like cool and young. He got like a bandana on and his Avi and shit. Made me feel good because this is some nerdy shit. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing cool about it like video game people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what?
You know how y'all like video games and everybody enjoys it? It's very rare.
Okay, who said that?
It's very rare, okay. You know.
I just picked up Tekken 7. So if you need my screen name, hit me up, PSN, because you want that ass whooped. I'm handing them out, okay?
Like Abira said on the Little Women reunion. That's what she told me. Did you remember?
No.
Maybe you intimidated by me. Maybe you scared to get that ass whooped. That's what she told me.
Why was I just looking at something from Lil Women on that. Instagram? Never mind. I'm like that part didn't happen.
So you guys ready to jump into this week's episode?
Absolutely.
Blacksolutely.
I actually wanted to hand it off to Sir Dustin this week because it's a topic that's near and dear to his heart and his craft. And you too, Asante, because I view you both as comedians. You guys are hilarious.
You think I'm funny.
So take it away, Dustin. Let us know what's on your heart this week.
Well, thank you so much, Fran, first of all, because to be called a comedian by someone of your regard, I'm very, very honored to be a of such. I'm trying to talk like T.I.
Anyway,
so yeah. And so everybody's seen it in the news this week about Bill Maher, comedian, longtime comedian, very controversial, always has something going on. Mm-hmm. He's got a show on HBO called Real Time with Bill Maher.
I used to watch that show.
Did you watch it
back when he was dating Superhead?
He didn't have it when he was dating.
No,
him.
Oh. I just think it's so funny.
I'm
that.
Like, wasn't that really
I just always
funny?
Used to think of him as that white man that dated Superhead for the longest. Like, I heard that he was on our side, but I was just like, oh, that's the white man that dated Superhead.
We should have known then.
I mean.
Anyway, so.
Superhead.
But yeah, he was interviewing a Republican senator. What was his name, Asante?
Out of Nebraska. His name was Ben Sass.
Ben Sass. Sassy Ben. Ben Sassy Pants.
Sassay.
Sassay.
Away. I don't
ben
know.
Day.
Anyway,
he was interviewing some Republican senator or whatever from Nebraska on Real Time with Bill Maher. During the course of the interview, the Republican senator made the comment, the joke, that Bill Maher should come on out to Nebraska and get in the fields with him. Everybody knows that Nebraska is famous for cornfields. So he told him to come on out and get in the fields with him. Immediately, Bill Maher, he kind of takes a beat, sits back and he says, in the fields? I wouldn't be in the fields. I'm a house nigga. I wouldn't be in the fields.
And he really,
I mean, it just slid
and
out.
And the way that he did flinch, like, almost like the fields.
Right.
Like, the fuck?
Scoffed. Like, he scoffed.
For real.
That's what he did. He scoffed. The fields. That's what he did. The fields.
Like, he white woman clutched
I'm
his pearls, but then said some nigga shit
I'm a
afterwards.
House nigga.
Like,
it just, it flowed out.
Me,
the ease that it came out with. I had never seen anything. Well, I had. I just couldn't believe I was seeing it again. So he says this, immediately the audience erupts into laughter. You can hear the Trump voters going, ah, ha, hey, woo, yeah. Like he had really cracked a good joke. And then they kind of carried on. Well, the shit hit the fan when this aired on HBO. everybody, of course, went the fuck off. Like, are you crazy? What are you doing? Like, you just said nigger on television like it was cool.
Right.
He faced immediate backlash. Everybody was outraged. Some people, of course, you have certain people who decide that they want to support him and say, oh, he's a comedian, so he has this privilege or this space to say things that are edgy or taboo and risque and get away with it because it's in the name of the art of comedy. You know, you're cracking a joke professionally. Like, this is your space to do that and to go a little further than you normally would in regular conversation. But a lot of people weren't trying to hear that shit. We just were uncomfortable. We, meaning me too, we were uncomfortable, you know, watching this white man sit on television and casually just kick back with his feet up and say nigger like it's cool. And everybody applauded. The guy, other guy laughed and everybody just kept it moving like that was supposed to be okay. It was disrespectful on a lot of levels, even on a personal level. You know, you feel like you've been tried. You feel like, I cannot believe you're going to try to play me like that, like I'm not about to do nothing. You know, it goes back to like sandbox shit. Like, am I going to let you get away with taking my toy? You know what I mean? And so people have been in an uproar, immediate backlash. Everyone has been calling for him to be fired. Several notable people have spoken out about this and said that it was straight up bullshit on his behalf. He's had supporters.
I've seen more of that. Mm-hmm.
Then he's had other people like David Alan Greer who went the fuck off on his Twitter. I'm not even going to tell you guys what he said. Just go on David Alan Greer's Twitter.
Oh, God, I love David.
Several people have spoken out about this being complete bullshit.
But then you got your girl Wendy up there being like, oh, I don't think he should get fired.
Wendy Williams?
Yes. I don't know why I've been watching this trash, but I literally watch and I'm sitting up here saying, people are eating this. Like, they allow her to do this. She literally was up there just like, I don't think he should be fired. Like, I'm just like, why?
That's all. That was her point.
Wendy
That's
does
it.
A very good job of dressing up that she's going to, like, say something and give it her point substance and then not.
And then nothing.
It's weird. It's very weird to
very
watch.
Anticlimactic.
I just think... he shouldn't get fired. Moving on. And I'm like, and people just clap and cheer and all that shit. And I'm like, this is America. This is exactly why we have the president that we have.
And what annoyed me was, sorry to interrupt you, the senator from Nebraska that he was interviewing.
He was just sitting there.
Well, I saw his tweets about it and he said that he cringed.
Cringed?
And I was like, I literally watched it back because I was like, unless my mind just saw a different piece of footage. I watched it back. I didn't see a cringe at any point. I saw laughter. Granted, whether it was uncomfortable laughter or not, I didn't read uncomfortable laughter.
He didn't get up and walk out. He didn't say, all right. There.
He didn't correct him. And then in his tweets, he wrote like, you know, and obviously I'm paraphrasing. He was like, you know, I wish I had done more than just cringed. I should have said, this is never okay. You know, and it's just, and it just bothered me because this is my, this is my question to y'all. We force people to apologize, right? And then they say shit like that. Then you're like, come on, man. You didn't cringe, A.
Right.
B, this is never okay. And then you were okay in capital letters. It's just too much. I was like, who is buying this right now?
Kellyanne Conway.
Okay, so...
Actually, while you guys talk, I'm going to look up the actual tweet.
So to the other side of that, you know, this is fucked up to bring it up like this. Kathy Griffin apologizing for what she did to Trump.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, that like, was...
Because they bring in that conversation on comedians crossing the line there. You know what? Okay, so for Bill Maher, right? It's almost like he's been doing this long enough to know what he can and can't get away with. And so for them, for us, I mean, for me personally as a black man, to let him get away with this shit, I be checking the people in the deli about using the N-word around me. So the fact that this white man gets on television is like, if he can be like, oh, it was a joke, I'm on you guys' side, or whatever the fuck he wants to say and use it as an excuse.
Well, we ain't over it. We've moved.
Hell to the motherfucking no,
the hall.
You're not.
You're
because
not
you would
side.
Have never said that shit, whether it was a joke or not. That's some shit he'd be doing in private. He thought that he was, you know, his Rachel status was going up in the game and that he could just get away with something else. And now people are letting him. This is Trump's America.
I believe that Bill Maher said exactly what he wanted to say. I believe that his mouth and his thoughts betrayed him, and he spoke a little quicker than he realized he had spoken, and then he had to stand by it in the moment, and so he laughed off because he immediately says, it's a joke. And he says it kind of nervously because he realized he had fucked up.
Right.
But you know me.
It's live, right?
I'm a season one, episode one nigga. So let's dial it on back to when you said what you said. Now, I said this on Twitter, but let's go ahead and break it down for people that listen
to the
show.
Give it to the people on the pod.
Now, you know, I crack jokes on this show every single week. And I mean, I go to the line.
And on right? Twitter.
And on Twitter. And it goes even further on Twitter. But like, I go to the line and I say things that might make people uncomfortable and might offend certain people. However, I, as I always say on this show, recognize the importance of intention. And when people can sense the intention in what you're doing, they're not offended and they go ahead and follow you into the land of the laugh. That's the goal, right? So there's certain things that just ain't funny. It's certain stuff that you just cannot joke about. You have to, other people might even be able to joke about it, but sometimes you can't. It's not your joke to crack. Bill Maher's a professional, right? So he's been doing this for years, making money doing this.
Yeah.
He recognizes the importance of the execution, the importance of the way that you throw the joke, and the importance of something landing. He gets that. So he knew that, it, like I said on Twitter, if you want to crack a joke about slavery or make a racially toned joke based on him saying something about the fields, go the other way with it. Say like, well, you know what? It's about time we got our white asses in the fields. I'll meet you there. It's about time. Right. And put your fist up or something. That'll piss everybody off too, but at least it'll be intentioned well. You know what I'm saying? At least it'll make you chuckle or some shit, and you can take that. As opposed to sitting on television and saying, I'm a house nigger.
Ooh, and the way it rolled off his tongue.
With ease.
Oh, my God. It was disgusting.
That's why I don't buy his apology, because I know that you really literally knew better. You said nigga because you wanted to say it, and I loop and group everybody that's black that's caping for him and supporting him in the same pile. And I like to call that pile File 13. Now, do you all know what File 13 is?
What's that?
I bet you the listeners know. My fourth grade teacher, Miss Ogilvy, told us this.
Not Miss Ogilvy.
She told us that File 13 was the code word for the trash can. So, yeah. So all of them are trash. How can you defend that? You let him sit up on TV and say nigger, and two white men are sitting on television having a conversation, tossing, volleying the word nigger around and laughing. It's like sitting up watching Roots on television like today. That's completely unacceptable. Certain shit is just not okay. Fuck that apology. It's complete bullshit. He knew what he was doing and he said it anyway. Now, Kathy Griffin.
Wait, hold on. Before you move on to her, This was in his act. His name is Ben Sass. And he says, my three reflections on Bill Maher.
Oh, my God.
Number one, I'm a First Amendment absolutist. Comedians get latitude to cross hard lines. Two, but free speech comes with a responsibility to speak up when folks use that word. Me just cringing last night wasn't good enough.
Who wrote this?
This is on his Twitter.
Barron Trump? Who wrote this?
Here's what I wish I'd been quick enough to say in the moment. Hold up. Why would you think it's okay to use... Why would you think it's okay to use that word? The history of the N-word is an attack on universal human dignity.
He was going to say all that.
It's therefore an attack on the American creed. Don't use it.
When he had his Ally McBeal moment, that's what he did.
That shit sound like Degrassi.
But isn't that just the weirdest apology? The N-word. Don't use it.
It's like a fucking after school special. What the fuck? What is that shit?
But that's why I have issues when people say things and then the internet says, I expect an apology. Because sometimes I'm like, what does that really
do? They still did it.
I get it. It's a humbling, like, you have to eat your words publicly. You have to apologize publicly. I get the high of that moment. But they said it with ease because it's how they feel.
Yep.
And you making them apologize, I don't know how much is, you know, that's going to really change.
I could crack some good jokes about a lot of bad things. I mean, some stuff that would make anybody. I could make them the niggas outside the Buckingham Palace laugh. I guarantee you I could. But I know that some stuff, no matter how, and I mean it's funny too, but I just can never crack them jokes. I know I can never, ever say them.
Not publicly.
I've said jokes to you, Asante, that I can never, ever say. And if you ever repeat, me and you going to be used
fine.
To be
I'm
friends.
I'm sure I've said some jokes to you that I can't
but
repeat.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right now about a couple of them.
What do y'all think, though, about making people apologize?
It's bullshit. It's first of all, bullshit.
They so
still did
So what should
they
it. Do if, like, Bill Maher, what should he do? To, I don't even know what
atone
the word is.
Himself.
Atone.
There, first
for
of
these
all,
actions.
There's a difference between an apology and a consequence. I think that what people desire is a consequence, right, for the behavior. An apology, like you said, yeah, there's a gleeful moment of, you know, humility on their behalf. We
right.
get to laugh at them having to break down and get down on their knees, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And beg like Jodeci. But, you know, that's not the point. That doesn't fix anything or solve anything or hit their asses hard so that they learn a lesson. You know what I'm saying? That's why fighting feels good, because you know that you're going to beat their ass and they're going to be hurting the next day and thinking about their sins. So that's why we want to make them apologize, but we really want a consequence. So like in this case, Bill Maher needs to be snatched of any type of power or influence that he has. And unfortunately, the visibility that comes along with a television show that people already know is going to be sensational, you don't deserve that.
Like Bill O'Reilly getting the sack.
You right. gotta go. They gotta go. They got to go.
Right.
Kathy Griffin, a little bit different.
Yeah, you don't think that was fair?
A little bit different, and here's why. Number one, I feel like she completely okay, let's just start from the beginning, right? So there's a long history of women, right, of whatever influence holding the heads or the image of the heads of, like, political figures, right? That's nothing new. That's been done since way back in, okay? This is something that people have done. Is it controversial? Absolutely. Who wants to look at the head of somebody that they know is walking around alive, right? But it's Donald Trump, okay? Number two. So there are some of us who, yes, it's something grotesque and absurdly offensive, you know what I mean, in what it is. In its nature, I guess it's they act like something, but it's not really going on. But it's a reenactment, but whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever. It's like an image of him being beheaded. Right? She's a comedian. She always talks shit. She's very controversial. It's nothing new. Where I think she dropped the ball is not standing in her shit. She should have been like, look. This is a long history of people doing this. I'm no different than anybody else. You just don't like it. And I don't like some of the stuff that he did. Where was all this outrage when they were denying them people at the borders? Where was all this outrage when they were talking about building the wall? Where was all the outrage when they said, grab her by the pussy? That's what you do. You stand in your shit because you meant that shit.
Damn.
And you're a comedian, and so you're supposed to be strong. Nobody's going to believe anything she says anymore.
It's the same thing.
She completely white womaned her way up out of this shit and started crying and being the victim. He broke me. No, you broke yourself. And I would never defend Donald Trump, and so I'm not, because I really can't. But what happened to her is not his fault. That's her own fault. And not for what she did, but for the way she handled the fallout. She took her own power away.
But I guess, but I think another part of that might be not for me. I completely agree with you, but I also try to think of a woman in her position, the type of backlash she receives behind closed doors, because she did lose her job for New Year's doing where she's pushing the envelope every year. I'm not saying that she should have cried and apologized, because they probably would have been like, oh my God, here go Kathy again. But it was getting them a lot of looks, like everybody's looking like, well, what's ABC going to do? And they should have been like, well, maybe a lot of people are going to watch. But because she cried and tried to boo her way out, everybody's like, no, girl, now none of us believe that. Like, it's almost like she lost her credibility. And it really fucked it up.
It did kill me, though, that they said Barron Trump was crying when he thought his dad.
Do y'all know what y'all did to the Obamas when they got in there?
For his PR people to spin this like that, to use sympathy and like use his son who probably is at home like, who?
What? Or who probably thought it was funny. Kids nowadays, they know all that goth shit, like all that shit. That he might have thought that shit was funny or whatever, or been amused. He probably did not even give a shit if he saw it. And furthermore, why should we show this empathy? Why should we care about how they feel or their feelings being hurt when this is one of the most heartless people that has ever walked the earth? You think I give a fuck about Barron Trump crying and his feelings being hurt? good. That's what he gets. Ain't nobody saying nothing about Sasha Lamalia. When they called their mama a hoe for having her arms out in a picture.
You're calling her an ape.
And sent
and
out
having
the pictures,
those images of hanging. Obama
they've been on so many trees.
Lynched.
Come on now.
They've been on so many trees. They've been called so many niggers and all that shit. And it's so many bumper stickers still running around here today.
I will say when I saw the Kathy Griffin image, I was like,
it was
what
jarring,
the fuck?
Right?
It was a lot.
I think it was a lot. I love Kathy Griffin, but when I see that shit, I was like, whoa. Because
I was thinking, like, what? Right. When she got those pictures back and looked at it, what made her think, like, I wonder what her thinking was. Like, yeah, this is going to get the internet talking. Like,
right.
Did she really think that was going to get her points? Like, we dislike him so much that we were going to be like, yeah, Kathy.
I think another part of her losing it and crying and all that is because of how whack the artistic direction was, too. Like, that's why it got lost. That's another reason she thinks it might have got lost in translation. It's like, it's already, the pictures look terrible on top of you doing some terrible shit. But if the pictures at least would have looked, like, good or artistic or something cool about it and got it talking in a different way, it would have been different. But it's scary looking, and Kathy Griffin, you're not a scary lady. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
You think her career is over?
No. She's been blackballed from, like, in several different arenas. Had a TV show about being blackballed. I'm like, how do you have a TV show?
Why should we give a fuck? Where Colin at? Where Colin throwing a football at this season?
Oh.
Why should we give a fuck about her not being able to do fucking New Year's Eve one party? Bitch, one party, and you complaining, and it's your fault again. You have to think about intention. Why would you put all that fake blood and stuff at the bottom? Why not just get a mannequin head that looked like him with the hair? We would have known who it was and hold that up. Or even if you get the lifelike one, just lose the blood in the open end.
Or hold it back.
Close it like a wig head at the bottom. And nobody, I'm telling you, nobody would have been, they would have been pissed, but it would have been different. That blood and the real looking makeup is what threw it all off. But she's never had good style choices. Look at her. When has she ever looked good?
I mean, honestly,
got that dry Reba flip.
Yes.
Like, you know what
and
I'm saying?
I love
it's
Reba
a style.
Too.
Kathy Griffin ain't got no style.
The only thing with comedy is that I feel like what makes comedians so fascinating, and obviously I'm speaking for myself, when I watch stand-up is the pass they get. They get to say everything we're privately thinking. They get to say the conversations that we're privately having with our friends, for the most part. Obviously, some stuff is a little too far, but they just get that pass. They get the freedom to get on stage and say exactly what they're thinking.
That's why it's
without
lit.
The fear of, even though it's different now, backlash, I think, is a little heavier than in the past. But
because of social media.
Yeah, because now even Chappelle's show, when he came out with these new Netflix series.
Yep, Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, he got backlash. And yeah, Tracy Morgan, even when I think it was Damon Wayans, that he was on The Breakfast Club. And I think they were asking him about the Bill Cosby case, and he was making fun of how the women looked. You know, like a lot of backlash. So it's not the same. Like now you can't just speak as freely because people will check you. It's a different time. But I think what always drew me to comedians is their freedom to just say
to
whatever.
Say
yeah, like I always found that fascinating. Like Richard Pryor and, you know, who's known for not giving a fuck. And my favorite, oh, my God. His name is escaping me right now. The older man.
Red Fox.
No, that always has the headscarf. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm not remembering his name. It'll come to me. Anyways.
Kim Whitley.
No, that he's always making fun of white people.
Oh, Paul Mooney.
Paul Mooney.
Yes, oh my God. Paul Mooney.
I don't know why his name is escaping. Like, Paul Mooney says
that. His
what?
Bluetooth was on.
I would have died. I love Paul Mooney so. You know, he's my favorite comedian.
I
wanted
to bother him so bad, but I was like, I am not going to be.
He probably would have told you
today.
Off.
Look, and his Bluetooth was on, so I accidentally saw.
Man, if you don't get your ass back there and sit down somewhere.
I wanted to send.
You know, he's my
something
favorite
his phone
comedian.
So
he's hilarious.
Bad. What would I have sent to Paul Mooney's phone? Why would I do that?
But I mean, I think that's part of their magic and the, you know, what makes them so different. They can say anything, and obviously they kind of can't, but they do, and mm-hmm. that's what makes them.
It's ways that you can do it. After the show, I'm gonna tell y'all how the Wayans guy could have cracked that joke.
Oh gosh,
I'm gonna tell you how he could have did it and not offended people.
But
tell you
but
how.
Here's my question to y'all: now the times are changing, should comedy change along with the times?
No,
or should people just let comedians be who they are?
It's an art, but you have artistic responsibility and accountability. You know what I'm saying? Just because you have this license
in
to...
In this day and age, or you think...
Eternally.
In the day, I feel like it wasn't... No one really cared about responsibility.
Right. Well, because you know why?
Look at Eddie Murphy.
Because they didn't have Google back in the day. So it's like, you know, now people are like, you need to educate yourself more.
They're posting their stand-ups online.
So people won't give you no passes because they feel like you need to be tolerant and know everything now. So it's kind of this scaredness.
That's where the responsibility plays in, right? Because the art doesn't change. But times have changed. The social climate has completely changed. There is a sense of accountability that people have in general about what they say. So the challenge is, and what makes you doper than other people, is that you know how to do it that way. You know how to go ahead and crack the joke within those boundaries. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You can finesse it enough to do it. That's what makes them special. That's what makes them more talented than people who can just say something funny. There's a skill involved.
So it's just basically... stepping your game up.
Bingo.
Like, not taking the easy jokes and the easy laughs.
Right.
That you know you'll get by being controversial, but making the entire room erupt in laughter.
Be controversial within the parameters. In a witty way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's almost like rap.
That's it. And
you can spit any bars, but you got to spit the best bars.
And right. Kathy Griffin really thought we was finna feel sorry for her up there crying, talking about he broke her. I just couldn't believe it.
I didn't see that. She said he broke her?
She was standing with a lawyer friend, up there with her lawyer. Her lawyer was talking, and then Kathy kind of...
They did a whole press conference.
Yeah.
Was it Gloria Allred?
No. She would have shut her ass up. Then Gloria Allred is a winner. That ain't no fair. This ain't Phaedra. Okay. Gloria Allred don't play. If anything go down with me and I can't speak,
even we know
call Gloria, friend.
Call Gloria. I'm telling you.
Bad. It's legal.
So what advice do you guys have? Well, actually, even for yourselves, I'm curious. Like, how do you create now when you get up on that stage, whether it's, you know, opening for shows or doing improv? Like, do you have a bit of fear that the wrong thing will come out? Because we're all inappropriate, but now you have to put on the
lens.
What
do you think, Asante?
See, so
do you hold back?
I think to myself that luckily we're blessed where we end up in arenas where, you know, it's all black people that always come. So I'm always really excited to see black people. So I'm in my element. And that's kind of why I look at Bill Maher and I'm thinking, like, you have an audience of people that know who the fuck you are. So what the fuck are you doing? These people, and they did laugh. So I guess they do like the fact that
he literally was in his element.
I mean, that's why it really fucks me up that he did that and the audience reacted. Anyway, for me, when I get on stage, I'm in my element. So I know that I can say whoever and whatever on that stage and people are right there with me because they came to see the same show that I want to be a part of. So it's like we're right on together. I know what's funny and what's funny to me and what they're into. And that's why, like, comedians sometimes can just effortlessly tell jokes. Like, I watch comedians like Hannibal on Broad City and the role that he plays up there when he's like literally just being
hilarious.
Being his nigga ass self. Like, we
or
all
even
know
Titus.
That.
Titus.
Even Titus. Mm-hmm. We all know a Titus. So I think comedy, as long as you're in your lane, you know how to do it. That's why if you don't really have it, you can do some more research and maybe get it. But there's levels to this shit.
So you do agree that you do have to have a responsibility with your comedy?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Because you have to be able, when you tell jokes, you have to know where they hit and where they miss. And you really have to guide yourself through the audience. So if you're saying something and you feel like people might be getting a little uncomfortable, you can push the envelope to make that shit work by owning it sometimes, but you can also find a smart way to push the envelope. Again, like Dustin said, if Bill Maher would have said that whole thing about the field, like he was like, you know, come work with us in the field. If Bill Maher would have been like, it's about time, you know, us in the fields, I want to see that shit. Like if he would have said that, I'd have been like, all right, cool, what the fuck ever. But he didn't do that.
So push the line, but be intuitive about how
But take a microscope to that line, you know, really.
Because it's a little, yeah.
Don't push it too far.
I guess that's where the art lies, in knowing exactly where that line is.
You know how you have friends where you can talk about your friend in a playful way, and y'all can go back and forth cracking on each other, and you have the best belly laughs in your life because you know that that's your friend, and it's just the way that they are respectfully tearing your ass up. The audience is your friend. Whoever your audience is, that's your friend. You don't want to say anything that's going to genuinely offend them. But you can gently play with certain things that may be offensive. That's the funniest shit. You know what I'm saying? The shit where you low-key laughing at somebody, you know, or laughing at something, I should say, but it's done in a way where you know it's not disrespectful. It's just funny. That's your responsibility. And that's the very generic breakdown of it. You know what I mean? It goes deep. As a man, there's certain things that I just won't say when I'm discussing something that involves a woman. Yeah, I might have said the B word a couple of times with Kathy Griffin, but that ain't the first time she's been called a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's, you know, whatever. But, like, there's lines that you can't cross.
Right.
So you respect that. And if you're good at what you do, you can finesse it. And that's what makes you excited when you know that you've done something that was a risk. You rolled the dice and you don't crap. It's great. It's a wonderful feeling.
And what about the argument about the N word?
Well, what ain't no argument, far as I'm concerned. We should all be clear. That if you are clear.
I guess that's the part that blows my mind when people, like, why do you want to use it so badly? Like, people arguing
why
about
you
don't
use it so badly in front of my face is what I want to know.
Why is this even a conversation?
And I think that's why I'm really, like, upset. Like, if we, I hate to be like, rally the people, but if we let Bill Maher get away with this shit, it's just going to be comedian after comedian think that they can throw an N somewhere in there somehow, be like, let me not be like Bill Maher, that nigga, or something like this. Like, it's only going to be a matter of time that's going to be like, this is unacceptable.
And also the timing of it, I think. Let me retract that statement. There's never a time. Number one.
Hello?
Okay. I sound like Ben Sass. Number one. my three
Beyonce.
Thoughts on Bill Maher. No, but I think that's, you know, number one. But even the timing of him using this joke, like, bro.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
There are white supremacists right now that are verified with blue checks on Twitter for being known white supremacists. There are people getting stabbed on trains and dying, you know, by white supremacists, like terrorist attacks on the regular by white supremacists. How many have we had? I saw a post that said there have been 154 terrorist attacks since the new year. That's, you know what I mean? Like, there's no playing with that word. There's no playing even with the sentiment behind it and talking about plantations. It's just too fragile.
Yep.
There's no joke in it. There's nothing funny about it. You're a white man saying it on national television.
To another white man.
To another white man, knowing the president we have right now, knowing the conversations online. It's just totally adding fuel to the fire. And for him to not see that is very strange because he's a smart man. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a little debatable at this point after these conversations. But he has that show because he's an intellectual, but...
He think he operated within that fake blackness he think he got.
Bro, right. I knew he that thought he was fake black when I saw he had his hair like Coretta. I was like, you know what? See, you are Bill. You like Monique said in prayer, I think you trying me.
Word up.
Okay. When I saw that roller set.
And the show is live.
That's why I'm telling you, just he came out before he thought about it.
And I saw his apology where he said that he's usually very tired on Fridays and, you know, he blamed it on, I guess, a end of the week brain.
Not good enough.
Not good enough at all, Bill. And I just, it's really crappy.
Steve
he's
Harvey,
sloppy.
Steve Harvey was tired. You know, he went off about being tired. Okay.
Right.
Shit.
Right. Do you guys watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I used to, yeah.
Do you remember when Larry took in that family, the black family during Katrina? He took that black family in. Well, it was Vivica Fox,
I know the aunt
from the Jamie Foxx show, all of them. And then the guy, what's the guy's name?
I don't know their names, but I've seen this
I can't
clip.
Think of his name, but everybody was funny and talented, right? Larry David, the guy on Curb Your Enthusiasm, white guy, comes home. He's talking to his white friends about he couldn't believe that he saw this, you know, incident at this restaurant of like racism or whatever. He's like, you know, and the guy comes out. I couldn't believe it. The guy comes out and he looks to the other guy and says, you know, this big 400-pound nigger. And he was like, and I'm like, And when he says it, one of the black people is walking by the one of the, I think it was Vivica Fox.
Wait, he said it?
When he said it, like he was telling the story, like that he was shocked at this other white man saying this, like, you know, I can't believe the shit I saw today, like blah, 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 blah. But Vivica Fox was walking by with a stack of freshly folded bath towels. So she was doing laundry. She was there with them towels. She said, "What did you just say? Did you say nigga? Larry?" And then like the whole family came out one by one. "Oh, fuck you, Larry David. This motherfucker caught us here. I guess we just a bunch of niggas in here." Huh? Like, that is how you crack the joke. That's how you do it. That's how you make it funny. That's how you go to the line. That's how you don't offend anybody. It is funny. You're a comedian. Do your job. Make it funny. That wasn't funny. That was him talking. That was that was something that he says regularly. I don't buy that he was cracking a joke. He's not giving that privilege from me as a comedian. He doesn't get that room for error. Sorry.
Well, so listen up, comedians, and those of you who are writers and TV producers
Twitter
and content creators. That too, content creators. There's a line. I guess you just have to be mindful of what that is. We had a show about boundaries. Cultures have boundaries. Races have boundaries too. So
even white learn what those are.
Right.
Learn what those are. There are plenty think pieces for you to inform yourself with. And hopefully you found this episode helpful. Any last words you guys want to give before we move on?
Not none that I can say on air. See, this is me being responsible. I can't say the last words I want to say.
I have nothing for Bill Maher. Kathy Griffin, if you're listening, because you probably have nothing else better to do except for pretend cry. Just re-air them old specials. Or actually, you got to disappear for a year. Just take some time. Let people forget about your redheaded ass. Don't be present for New Year's. Don't say nothing. Just... you're white. You'll be all right. I mean, you still have money to spend, but when you come back, do your old specials. Do a little comeback story. I'm sure Trump might be gone by then, so you could do a little run about him.
She better get herself a third love bra and get it together.
Word up.
That's what she needs.
I mean, I just don't trust her right now. That fake crying did not do it for me.
Don't you just want to tell Kathy, pull it together.
For real.
Pull it together.
I genuinely believe that them tears are because, like, maybe somebody said, Kathy, these pictures ain't shit. And then when everything came out, she's like, oh, it's fine. They're going to ride with me. But then, like, white people were really giving it to her. And then she was like, the pictures look bad. What if my people don't like this? You know, her people being people that like her.
I think she just turned into a total white woman. I think she totally played
the
game.
When
I say
that
I know.
That's
and
why
I think
so...
we finally, what Cindy say? What Cyndi Lauper say? I see your true colors. Okay, we seen her true colors. It showed now. I think that she, when the shit hit the fan and the heat was really, really on her, I think that she could not take it. And that's why she would get on TV and say that this fool broke her. I was so let down. Like, you're supposed to be the main one that knows how to take the heat. You're a comedian. You crack jokes about other people. Like, the weakness that she showed. And then
if Bill Maher would have been like, yeah, I said it?
Then I would have been like, cool, you a racist nigga. Get him the fuck out of here.
Right. That would make things easier.
I get it. And that's okay. Well, then that's, you know what that means. So we clear.
Just like when Paula Deen used the N-word. Ooh. That shit rolled off her tongue. Like, we didn't even hear it, I don't think.
Said that man was dark as they couldn't see him because he was on that black wall. Remember?
You can't even see ya. Look at him. All I know is when I heard about it, when I heard that Paula Deen used the N-word, I in my mind imagine she probably says that shit all the time.
Like, first of all, I fell out. Did you fall out of something?
Immediately. I know on several occasions that she has used that word.
Going to the grocery store. You know she put butter on everything. Can't go to the grocery store. And the butter that spilled out the
this?
Grocery bag.
My nigga.
Like, load my groceries. That goddamn ain't load these groceries for that damn. Look at this.
I just knew in my heart. I was like, and then she gonna come apologize. Y'all, I am so
in traffic,
sorry
Asante.
Using the N. No, she didn't do that, but it felt like that. It was almost
like. But
that's
why I struggle with apologies. I really do. I really struggle with the internet forcing people to apologize.
Me too, because it don't mean shit.
Like you said,
nothing.
I think the response should be in the form of a consequence.
Yes.
If you have a show and you do that, you know it should be taken away. Like, consequences. Just...
And if people feel like getting a platform removed is too big of a consequence, like, these people have done these for years. Like, they know what they're doing. So when they make these one-time big flubs to just say, oh, you know, we're going to keep them around, like, or maybe give them a suspension or some shit. That's just lazy. I feel like so much of the media is so lazy and they want to recycle old shit and keep all this dumb shit going as opposed to just making way for new shit.
And it's never a one-time flub. It's just the time that someone heard you.
Right.
Because if you say that comfortably, you're not going to tell me that a 70-year-old woman said that for the first time and happened to get caught. Come on now. It's a lifestyle.
It's only a matter of time before somebody puts out some Bill Maher clips of him just saying shit on every episode, just hinting at where he's at right now.
Talking about he a house N-word.
What the fuck?
I'd be like, well, you sure got your hair like one.
And it was
interesting. You see his pompadour in your head going to the bed.
And the thing is, like, a lot of his peers were defending him. And listen, you know what it is like to have problematic friends.
I'm sorry, friend.
No, you didn't. You know what it's like. We all have problematic friends. But the difference is if someone in my peer group says something that is just, like, terrible, I'm not going to go online and tell people, leave him alone and move on.
Right.
I'm going to be like, listen, he's a grown-ass man or woman. This is, you know, my friendship will be based on the fact that I will stay by your side if you need to cry about it and be like, yo, I fucked up. And be like, you did fuck up. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to be online telling people
right.
that they're wrong for feeling what they're feeling.
Yeah, and that's the part that is really strange. How, even like Donna Brazile and... like a lot of politicians and
Crystal got her the fuck up out of there so fast.
I saw Crystal was like, I hope you got like a couple months rent for
she
this.
She said like
one.
6 months
damn,
rent.
P.S. Damn. She told her, P.S. you could at least got paid. I mean, damn. That's what Crystal thought.
I mean, got her out of there immediately.
You know I was at home rolling.
I hope they paid you at least 6 months rent, sis.
And you know what I hate when people say, like, we have bigger things to worry about. You're right, we do, but who says we can't worry about all of them at the same time?
Right.
We are complex minds. You know, I can worry about a TV show on HBO allowing this kind of conversation, while I can also worry about, you know, what's happening with the president and what's happening in my neighborhood with gentrification. We can worry about all of it.
You can mm-hmm. also worry about whatever the hell you want to worry about.
And you Absolutely. Could also not worry and go
right
home
there.
And binge watch Master of None. Yeah. Who am I to tell
yeah,
you?
Friend.
You know what I mean?
Okay, like, as a cheetah woman, I can worry about whatever the hell I want to worry about.
Damn right.
But I do hate when people say that. I saw that a lot too. Like, well, we have bigger fish to fry.
Get out of here. Go fry those fish then. Stop right. worrying about what I'm frying over here, damn it.
Oh man, well, that's it for this week's
Fuck
hot button.
Right, we gotta change the subject. I'm so tired of rolling my eyes. I need some eye drops. I've been rolling my eyes since we started talking.
Support for today's podcast is brought to you by Third Love. It's easy to love the way a bra looks, but can you ever say that you've loved the way it feels? Now you can with Third Love. Third Love uses women's actual measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and are just way more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Third Love offers sizes from AA to G, as well as their exclusive half cup sizes. That's for those of us that have that little extra bump at the top of our... Just answer a few simple questions online and they'll recommend a bra in the right size and style for you. And you can try.
Right. Damn.
And it's so cute. They ask, are your breasts relaxed? I was like, that is such a nice way of putting it.
All right.
And you can try one of Third Love's best-selling bras free for 30 days. Just pay $2.99 for shipping. You'll get to really live in this bra. Wash it, wear it all day. You might even forget that you're wearing it. It's that comfortable. If your Third Love bra isn't your new favorite, you can always return or exchange it for free. So go to thirdlove.com/friend now to find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/friend to try your new favorite bra for free. An extraordinary bra for every moment and every outfit is waiting for you at Third Love. Let's move on to this week's wellness segment.
Well, Janet. No, I'm just playing.
Not that one.
Well.
Janet would be more like, well.
Yeah, it'd be more like, I canceled it. I'm planning a family.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm back. State of the
Whatever.
World. State of the world.
Two up. That's what Janet would be like.
Did you see the video when she was announcing and she was like, as you can see, I've put on a lot of weight. And then her brother in the background was like, a little.
She's like, shut up, Brandy.
Yeah. Got him.
Yo, that was nuts. Anyway, so I wanted to, her brother seems so damn funny. On the low. Don't they seem hilarious?
That's a show right there. And that's a show with magic.
She was like, shut up.
That could be a Janet Jackson. Yeah, I'm a little.
That's a show with magic, like back Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, like legendary,
oh,
but
legendary.
like some good magic TV.
So damn real. Funny. So this one is for those of you who suffer from menstrual cramps. Now, fellas, I know you're rolling your eyes like, let me skip this segment. No, come on. You have sisters. Damn. You have moms. You have daughters. Cheetah women around you. So it's just helpful information that you could pass on as well. Because, you know, a lot of us are unaware of what we can do to make these cramps go away. So I don't really get cramps as much anymore because I removed dairy from my diet. And dairy is inflammatory. And what inflammatory foods do, like cheese and all those, I know it's hard
the
for
good
people.
Shit.
Well, you said what?
The good shit. You talking pasta, pizza, lasagna.
I know. It's a tough one. Especially cheese. I think cheese was probably... Surprisingly, milk wasn't hard for me. Yogurt was kind of hard because I...
Chobani.
Yeah. Chobani. You made it on our hood. I used to love making parfaits.
Oh, yes. Ooh, a granola in
there. And like a mason... Parfaits. You put it in the mason jar and you put all your fruit. Ooh. And then the different level, like, yes, layers, and then you put coconut
Hennessy
flakes. Ooh. A little Hennessy.
Sprinkle a little cinnamon on top, a little brown
some
sugar.
Coconut flakes at the top. So that used to be my breakfast. So that
coconut
was kind of hard. But I have found cashew-based yogurt and coconut milk-based yogurt.
Really?
Both sold at Whole Foods. I think it's the coconut milk one is the So Delicious brand.
So Delicious.
And the cashew one is like cashew gurt, like it's called that. And you can find them both.
Cashew gurt. That's cute.
So cute. They both taste amazing. You know, I wouldn't steer you wrong because it took me a while to find one that tastes good. but what dairy does is that it has these arachidonic acids and that are cramp inducing. And that's what creates the inflammation in your body that makes this pain for us. So when I started researching that and I removed dairy for a lot of different reasons, even just for acne, my cramps went away. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, they went away. I haven't had cramps in years.
What kind of acid?
Arachidonic acid.
I don't even like how that shit sounds.
I thought
it
you said Dothraki, like off Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, is that why they call them Dothraki? Because, you know, like they be fighting like in the stomach or something. I didn't know where you was going.
And what happens with arachidonic acids is that they create these high levels of chemicals known as prostaglandins that get released in our bodies. And that's what causes the contractions. This contraction here in our uterine muscles. So what I found is this young lady on Etsy who makes this balm that you rub on your lower abdomen. And she's so smart because what she did is she put together a series of herbs and oils that are known for being natural muscle relaxants. So while, you know, these high level chemicals and acids are making your uterine muscles contract, when you rub the herbs and oils, it makes the muscle relax. So the contractions just stop. Genius. I've tried a couple of different, yeah, exactly, a little topical natural remedy. I've tried tons of different natural remedies, and I'll be honest with y'all, not very many of them work. The only one that has worked was blackstrap molasses. Because it has iron in it.
That song.
It sounds like it worked too. Blackstrap molasses.
It has iron in it, and it's just really good for our bodies. It does not taste good though. It is terrible.
You know that up front. Blackstrap molasses.
But this taking a spoonful, like a you can either drink it straight, put it in some tea. get creative, whatever. However you put it in a muffin, I don't know.
Put it in a muffin.
But just one tablespoon. I know people that actually drink it daily for their iron levels. Mm. You know, if they don't have other ways to meet those needs and not have iron. You know, people are anemic, have iron deficiencies. Blackstrap molasses, I actually have a video. I did it years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. It's on my YouTube channel where I break down history. How blackstrap molasses works on the body. But back to this balm. It's called Our Lady of Mercy, which I find hilarious.
How ironic.
Genius.
Isn't it ironic?
She calls it a cramp balm. Her store on Etsy is called Holy Sponge. Mm. She is amazing. And it's basically shea butter and coconut oil that's infused with ginger, motherwort, excuse me, raspberry leaf, and arnica, and a few other different ingredients. And all arnica. Of these herbs, if you research them yourself, which of course I want you to do, your watch is just glistening over here.
Shining, shining, sorry. Shining, shining.
I was like, what is that spotlight on my face?
I'm so icy.
Oh my God. So, like I said, all of these herbs separately, when you research them, are either they calm your body emotionally, vibrationally, and they also help your muscles relax. So she just did a nice little concoction here of relaxation. And so I haven't had cramps in years. And I bought these other products from her, and she happened to put the balm in the box as a goodie, like just as a gift.
Oh, damn.
Oh, cool.
It was a come up.
But it was, I know, right? But it was so, yeah, I know she's like, thank God I did that. but it was so interesting because I haven't had cramps in years, but because my stress levels were so high from visiting my grandmother this weekend, my body wasn't in its normal, you know, its normal levels. And so when I got my cycle this week, my cramps were on 100. And I was like, oh my God, that girl put that balm.
Right on time.
I mean, hey, it couldn't have been. It's so weird how that worked out. So I was like, well, let me try it. And I rubbed it on my belly. And then I used a corn bag. Have you ever heard of a corn bag?
No, you were telling me about it last week, I think.
Yeah, it's just a little sack that people sew. It's just fabric you sew in the form of a little sack. And they fill it with corn. Because corn...
Yum kernels.
Yeah, and you can either use it for heat, you know, pop it in the microwave for like 30, 60 seconds, or you can put it in the freezer, depending on if you need the heat or you need the cold. And corn, just really absorbent with temperatures, and it can like maintain it. It sustains the different temperatures that you need. It's kind of awesome. I never heard of it. I had a badass headache when I was in Chicago, and Haz had a corn bag that she says she bought from like her son's school, like a little girl was selling them, which I think is so cute. She's hustling corn bags.
Right?
So she was like, oh, try the corn bag for your headache. Tried it. Boom, slept with it on my forehead, went to sleep, worked like a charm. And then I ended up ordering one after that trip. So here I had my Our Lady of Mercy balm.
My balm and my corn bag.
Yeah, and my corn bag. And I was like, you know what? I think these two are going to do it. And so I rubbed it on my belly, popped the corn bag in the microwave, put it on my belly, and then the heat, as always, helps anything that you use absorb faster into your skin. So that combination, within 30, 40 minutes, I was totally fine. My cramps were gone. And I went on Twitter and I was like, y'all, like it worked so fast that I like had to tell people, because I know there are women that their cramps are so bad and then they have to go to work or they have kids and have to tend to them. And it's just so hard trying to juggle your day to day, you know, as a woman, when you have this debilitating pain that I don't think people understand how bad it is. Like, you will be in bed in the fetal position, hunched over. Like, there are people that faint. There are people that vomit. I mean, there's levels to it. So I was happy to be able to pass on this information. And my favorite part is that it's all natural. And she uses organic ingredients. Like I said, it's mainly herbs. So it's Holy Sponge on Etsy. And it's called Our Lady of Mercy Cramp Balm.
Holy, holy, holy sponge.
And then the corn bag, you can just write corn bag on Etsy, and that should pop up because it's really basic. It's not really much to it. But I just wanted you guys to try that. Two really cheap things. It's not even $20 to buy both. So hopefully that helps somebody. And that's it for this week's wellness segment. Now let's move on to Asante. What you got for us this week, Mr. Music Man?
They call me the Music Man. I recommend music where I can.
I want a corn bag.
They're so cute.
Somebody get dust in the corn bag. Yeah.
So this week for the Music Man segment, I just want to fill y'all with a lot of the listens lately that I've been listening to. I would like to start off with one, India Sean, Galaxies, only because I've been promoting it for like 3 weeks in a row. And it is June, and India, if you are listening, she has promised us more music this month and visuals this month. So for those of you that have enjoyed Galaxies, go harass her on her Twitter. Request her at the local venues. Do what you got to do. I want to see India Sean, and I want to hear India Sean, and I know that you do too. And if you don't know who India Sean is, go look her up. Go listen to her. That's IndiaShawn. That's the Songbird Siren. I had to do that first and foremost to
love
get that
you,
out
India.
The way. Love you, India. Lately, I have been listening to SZA. Lately, Love Galore featuring Travis Scott was catching my heart, but she also just recently dropped Broken Clocks, which is the Shiz Night. Broken Clocks is amazing. The album Control should be out soon. Another TDE favorite. I think she's going to have features on there. Isaiah Rashad's supposed to be on the album. You know, the song with Travis Scott's already out. So it's going to be that kind of vibe and wave. Get into that. And if you, speaking of Travis Scott, he is featured on 2 Chainz' newest project. 4 AM is the name of the single. I, ATL native, love 2 Chainz, and I will always promote him, especially when he continues to present those fire bars that I love so much. That's 2 Chainz featuring Travis Scott with the track 4 AM. If you want something a little vibey and trancey, if you're liking on that Division wave, I've been listening to A Shaw. You might have heard of him before. He had the song called Round Whippin'.
How you spell it?
A and then C-H-A-L is the second word.
I don't know if I've seen
He's
that.
Got this song, he's like, I've been riding around, whipping. And he does that whole, like, vibey, wavy thing. You're going to, I think, hear a little bit more from him. He was on one of those, like, you know what? He was on one of those random, like, compilation albums that somebody had. And, like, Timbaland was on one of the songs. And I think Division was on one of the songs. Soon I was like, oh, this is really dope. So that's how I found out about this young man. Lil Yachty I've been listening to. And I also made a playlist that I am working on. It's not out yet, but I've been snapping photos of the songs that I'm putting on there. I've also included ASAP Mob and ASAP Rocky. They have a new song, Raph. You know, Raph Simmons. They always make the designer rap, which I love.
Designer rap.
ASAP Mob, ASAP Rocky, Playboi Carti's on the track, Quavo's on the track. I think even Frank Ocean gets him a little piece of the track. So I was feeling that. And because I was in Philly this weekend, I downloaded a Meek Mill song. And it is whatever you need. And it's also featuring Chris Brown and Ty Dolla $ign. New Ty Dolla $ign. When I heard them say that on Insecure, Issa Rae said that, I was like, she thinks she me. New Ty Dolla $ign. Okay, anytime I can hear Ty Dolla $ign on some
oh, that's
shit.
That's right. I forgot he was on the episode. In the mirror.
You know who put me on a Ty Dolla $ign? Because I was seeing him and I was like, oh, okay, you know, another Future nigga or something. Now he's on this fucking Fifth Harmony song.
Who?
Dustin. I don't really? Remember what Ty Dolla $ign song it was, but I couldn't stop listening to it. So then I downloaded one of the projects and I was like, oh, okay, this one's a shit. And then Campaign was lit. And I was like, okay, Ty Dolla $ign actually makes some good ratchet music.
I just really like how he sings.
James Fauntleroy put me on.
Shout out to James Fauntleroy, you know what I'm saying?
He has new songs out too, by the way.
On the SoundCloud, you know James got the thing? You know what? Mm-hmm. I really hate that SoundCloud might get some money out of me. That damn SoundCloud Go thing.
Oh,
I've been this close.
Yo, I am so mad. I give my money to 2 people already. If you are a SoundCloud listening, just give the friend zone some damn SoundCloud.
Please,
things.
We done gave a lot to you.
I mean, we put up the episodes faithfully every week as much as we can for the listeners. Like, give us the SoundCloud Go.
Give us a SoundCloud free.
Because there are so many. Give us a SoundCloud free.
Yeah.
There are so many artists on SoundCloud that I be wanting to promote, but I can't promote properly because I just can't get it together. Because SoundCloud is not like the Apple Music and the stuff, because the people do their remixes.
Tidal, shout out to Tidal. That's what I use.
Shout out to Tidal. I like their visual content way better than anybody, any other platform at the moment. They do a really great job of doing movies.
Tidal, hit us up. Let's talk, Tidal. The Friend Zone got something special for you. Talk to us, Tidal.
Okay.
out to everybody up in this motherfucker. So I think that's going to be it for my my listens lately. New Party Next Door dropped.
I was actually listening to it today.
What did you think of it? You know, Party is an acquired... He's an acquired...
Who are you asking? Dustin, you didn't answer.
Nobody answered.
I was drinking water.
We didn't hear you swallow.
No, I thought it was cool. I like the... what is it? I want to lay up with you. Something like that.
Freaking you.
Where the song is like, he's basically saying he don't want to leave the bed. Like, he's just... Right. He's down to lay up with you all
Is that
day.
Peace of mind? And he's like, I got to get to the money, baby. I think it's the first one.
So she's supposed to have a pizza mind, like, I'm not going to be here. You got to eat takeout tonight. That's what you talking about?
I'm no house nigga. No. Right.
Peace of mind. I mean, it was cool.
Yeah. No, Colors is just four tracks of Party's, whatever Party's doing. I am a Party connoisseur. But,
I love his music.
But this track, some of it kind of was fucking me up because, you know, everybody has this way of sounding like other people. But on the second track, he's doing a lot of this Young Thuggin'. And it really be fucking me up. I was like, why didn't you just get Young Motherfucking Thug on this track?
Jeffrey.
Yeah. Come on now. Jeffrey makes magic. Party makes magic. Travis makes magic. Like, they could all just be constantly collaborating left and right.
It just sounded like one long ass song to me. And yeah, and then there's that one. I'm into Party's music, but I just felt like I was on a roller coaster. Like,
well,
it just.
Well, maybe you were. It's called Colors. So maybe he was giving you, like, different.
The whole wheel.
His true colors were shining at the. You.
That the whole thing project feel like a cartwheel.
It does, and I don't like it. but like a real slow one, and you got to fix your knees and make sure they're above your
head.
Right.
Rose did it on the Golden Girls. Remember when she did them cartwheels around that room at that dance competition? The listeners will remember. Y'all know when Rose did them cartwheels.
Go ahead. I hope Fury does that for one of his openings when he quotes. But that's going to be it for my listens lately. Outside, there are people that I will listen to on SoundCloud that I just can't pull up, like, offhand. If you follow me on SoundCloud, @Asante, you'll see, like, my retweets. I always retweet the episodes, and I always retweet the music I'm listening to. Because there's, like, this Preston Mills cat. Preston somebody. Presto Sings. Look him up on SoundCloud, the shit.
Don't forget that people were tweeting us about shouting out PJ Morton.
Oh, yes, hey. PJ Morton was getting tweeted a lot to us for shouting out.
Shout out to
go listen
homie.
To PJ. I love, okay, if you have not seen PJ Morton live, please go see PJ
He's
Morton live.
Amazing.
He gives the greatest live shows ever, and my favorite part
they
is towards
the
end.
Live show killer.
I see why.
I love it.
I got to see, shout out to Kia over there getting grown with Jade, our faves.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see PJ Morton live with Kia, and towards the end, he always does that really cool cheers, and it always fucks me up a little bit. Cause it's like, imagine like soulful ass niggas in there. Where everybody knows your name. I'm like, yes,
singing.
Like he gives shows and like I be feeling like I'm at the Village Underground.
Wow.
I'm like, ooh. But that's like on top of the instrumentation, and he be having some singing ass backup singers. Like, shout out to PJ Morton.
Shout out to PJ. Me and PJ met when I lived in Atlanta. We actually met at Red Zone Studios. Where Tricky and Dream made all their hits. And I was writing some music.
Magic at Red Zone.
I had made a dope ass song. And they were like, yo, we got to get PJ on this. And I was like, what? And then he came to the studio. Like, they literally called him and he came. Just to work on music. So that was dope. That's how we met. Shout out to PJ. That was
you,
in 2000, like, wow, that was like in 2007, 2008. So we go way back.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a minute ago.
For those of you that don't know who PJ Morton is, he also is in Maroon 5. Like,
he sure the hell is.
that still be fucking me up. I'll be looking like, oh,
isn't that amazing?
This would be so crazy. He's the black one.
The black
in Maroon
one.
5.
Can't miss him.
He's why it's maroon.
It's getting harder to breathe.
You know, I've been funny enough that you bring up Maroon 5 because I've been listening to their first album. Remember
is that the one with Sunday Morning on there?
She will be.
She will be loved. Yo, every time
the way
I
it
hear
starts out.
Every time I hear she will be loved.
Knock on my door. I wanna make you feel beautiful.
Sing, Asante.
I don't mind spending every day
out on your corner in the pouring. I like how y'all stop.
No, I was gonna let you have it. I was like, ooh. You know, once Beyonce,
I froze.
Look, once Beyonce starts,
look for the girl with the broken smile.
Lord, and ask her
if she wants to stay. No, I can't.
Look, and she will.
She will. She will.
That's how I got my songwriting credit on
that
song.
Those are lyrics.
You ain't.
Do you
hear
me?
You do that to me, friend?
I made him put that part in. And she will be loved.
And she will.
I know where you are. Alone in your car.
Stop.
Like, I was just like, oh my God. What you know, Adam? Get on my business.
Yo, what happened to them? They just
do you hear what they're doing right now? Do you hear what they're doing right now? They're going down that Katy Perry road.
I guess it happened.
They had Future
on
it.
It's the pop pressure, man.
They
had those Future checks.
You know what? I want to throw this at you. It's only on 15% anyway.
And then, of course,
I don't remember the words, but I remember the
rise.
You
burn every night. Damn, I forgot the words.
I did too.
Something about chicken thighs.
It's love has taken its toll on me. She said goodbye too many times before.
Hey.
My heart is breaking in front of me. And I have no choice to not say goodbye anymore. Whoa,
hey,
whoa,
pruh,
whoa, pruh.
Whoa, pruh. Yo, that album was fucking incredible. I'll never forget when it first came out. I was like, yes. Are these white boys?
Yes. Jamming like that.
Jamming.
She Will Be Loved was the one.
Shout out to Maroon 5. Yo, that song makes me cry every time.
Man.
Adam Levine is the new Michael
Sunday
McDonald.
Sunday morning, rain is falling.
Oh my God.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
That one used to be the one too.
Back again, da-na-na-na-na.
Stormy weather.
Is it true that that's the lady from?
You said together.
It just gets so crazy living life gets hard to do.
Man, woo! You want to talk about some moments?
You said living life gets hard
that
to do.
That Sunday rain will bring me back to you.
And then on that part, it's like, oh yeah. Yeah, I was like, you better yell back there. I'd be in my headphones looking crazy and pointing at nobody, but
you better yell back there.
That's right.
You back there.
That's
oh
right.
Yeah.
Yo, if you have not heard that Maroon 5 album, you have to listen
to it. It's an experience.
It is a classic. That album is forever. It might be in my top.
It really is a great album, for
real.
It's
up there with A-Marie's first album. Ooh. Like, you know how some albums are just forever?
I have the weirdest album tops that no one would ever... They'd be like, what the fuck?
Give us one.
Nelly Furtado was the first one that
what?
Came.
She was
that
amazing.
The first project was
like
but the entire first project was like, there were like tracks after tracks on like the first couple of them. But that first one, I was like, damn, this
which
is.
Which album was it? Was Try on that album?
Yes.
Was on the
did
second?
I see you standing there, wanting more for me, and all I can do is try.
Ooh. Ooh, we're going to freestyle to that next week.
Man.
And then I see you standing there, wanting more for me.
More for me.
Sing.
Wanting more for me.
More for me.
Wanting more for me.
Wanting more
preview.
For me.
Come on.
I feel you on Nelly Furtado. That was the shit.
Nelly fucking Furtado. The first album, though, like, because Try was on there. She had
man.
Oh, never mind. I realized why I stopped liking her, but. That's neither here nor there.
Oh no!
But yeah, big hoops don't count.
I mean,
it cut
what
off
the
after
fuck?
Loose.
Big hoops
after
and spirited,
loose. Then you
oh, because loose
spirit
was
in the dark. Don't yeah. None of that. None
but
of that.
I love the song with Timbaland.
Man Eater.
Da-na-na. No, the
say it right.
Oh, da-na-na. Say oh no.
In the video,
you don't mean nothing at all
to me. Yes.
Right.
Imagine him in the studio
look,
recording those
you know who
parts.
That was? That was Sampa, but now he got his sound together.
Yeah,
now I'm just
like, well, they said that was Miss Powers from Lean On Me playing the piano on Miss Love by Maroon 5. They said that was the one that rewrote the school song
you know
playing
what?
The piano. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. That was the lady.
Oh, shit.
Give yourself a pat on the back. Damn, that was a good one, Fred. What else you was listening to? What other throwbacks?
That, right, that, Fred, that, shit.
You was having a jam.
It's the music, Fred.
Okay. No, honestly, I was, Dustin will be very happy to know I was listening to the My Life album. And, you know, that's forever. I mean, that's
all those when pretty
you
memories. Not?
Clyde must have told you he wasn't talking to you, huh?
That's my favorite Mary song of
y'all
all time.
Slaughtered me online. That shit was so. People were like, I will never listen to the Friend Zone. I love her.
Oh, yeah. You know, they was in my ass about Whitney.
Look, nigga said, how you gonna do that in a Tupac movie coming out, ass? I was like,
somebody said that to you. What the hell?
I don't give a fuck.
People were so emotional. But I actually thought it was hilarious.
It was so emotional.
People, oh my God, people were saying in the comments that they felt that way about Prince, and my heart almost broke. I was like, nah,
oh,
I see
no,
how
no, baby, what is you doing?
And Sade.
You know, one I always name say I didn't that though. See.
No, you didn't. I told y'all my roommate.
Was Britney Spears?
Nope.
That was Pretty Man.
Hey, the name I bet not have seen. Okay, and thank y'all. That's all I ask for respect.
Because why you gotta say the obvious? I mean,
now see you, Sante.
Yo, Sante is the one up king.
See?
More life, more love,
no.
More fire.
Remember Red Rat?
Oh, no, baby. What is you doing?
Do you remember Red Rat and all the reggae songs? He'd go, oh, yeah. No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I used to love that part. Oh, no. Oh, no.
In the tight up blouse.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Speaking of dance hall, Spice was on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta tonight.
And Carly Red got up there with her geriatric ass.
Spice.
Who is Spice?
The dance hall artist.
I don't know who that is.
You
Spice?
Don't know Spice?
No.
Well, just you will by the time this episode comes, because they finna send you everything.
No, they're not.
Is it a new dance hall artist?
Spice, says she's been around for quite some time. Very popular, very edgy. Mm. You know, I just was surprised to see her. Go ahead.
She's part of the cast?
No, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but they show gave her a lot like she was.
She was on a Jeremiah song. I had no idea.
I need to look her up.
Thanks again to Talkspace for supporting this week's episode of The Friend Zone. Talkspace is the online therapy company that makes it easy to connect with a licensed and experienced therapist, handpicked just for you, for as little as $32 a week. You can talk with your therapist whenever and wherever you are, on the web or over the phone, without scheduling, traveling, or worrying about your privacy. And Talkspace is 100% confidential. You can remain completely anonymous if you want. Join the over 500,000 users who have experienced the relief of being able to talk to a therapist at their own discretion and on their own time. And for the couples that are going through a rough patch, Talkspace now offers couples therapy so you can heal together.
That's so cool.
That is cool. You don't even got to watch a Yalla's Fix My Life and just try to pick up the pieces from there. You can just open up the app and let them
so
talk.
You
know, sometimes, you know, you be trying to fill in them spots and be like, that's a little bit of me. No, you can go to Talkspace and somebody can be like, that's not you, beloved, and tell you what the real is. So visit Talkspace.com/zone for a special $30 discount off your first month, or download the Talkspace app and use coupon code ZONE. That's Talkspace.com/zone, or use the Talkspace app and enter coupon code ZONE to get $30 off your first month. Talkspace, therapy for all.
And you know what? It is for all, because I asked Talkspace yesterday if they provided services in multiple languages, and they do. You know, maybe your parents, like my parents, are immigrants where they have a foreign language that is their stronger language, where they'll communicate with more ease. Feel free to recommend them. And if you need to find out information about a specific language, just tweet them. They tweeted me back within like an hour or two with information. So just a heads up. I think that's really cool that they offer that.
Talkspace for everybody.
Everybody.
Work Talkspace! That is it over here. Actually, I would like to also give one more shout out to @MessyMiles. For the discography of the Housewives of Atlanta,
Lord,
that he's been providing to us.
Shout out to Messy Miles, huge supporter of the show, by the way.
What do you mean discography? Like he's making a playlist?
More like albums and album covers.
He made album covers for each of the Real Housewives.
Stop it.
Based on photo shoots that they've done. That look like album covers.
So he did this NeNe Leakes, Lanithia When You Got the Coin album cover.
Fran is falling out.
Yes. That was so real.
And then there's a track listing that came out with it.
Yo, y'all.
Actually, and Nene loved it, and she reposted it, and she couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, that's cute.
And so people went as far as to make tracks. The debut album, I Said What I Said. Songs, one, Honk the Horn on the Ass featuring Greg Leakes. Close Your Legs to Mary Ben featuring Kim Zolciak. I Am Very Rich Bitch featuring Sheree Whitfield. Bloop, Neverland. I mean, just great comedy. This is comedy at its finest.
There you go.
And I love that she was playing in it, too. That's dope.
Absolutely. So he went so far as to go on ahead and give them all ones. He gave Portia one. I Am the Princess of Thoughtland and Spirit of Beyonce. Kenya Moore's Slut from the 90s. You know, shout out to Portia. That was cute. Cynthia Bailey's The Bailey Agency.
Which was funny.
I just want to read The Bailey Agency's tracks.
Listen to the titles.
Are you ready for the first one?
Yes.
No. Coochie Crack. The Friend Contract. Win a Case. I think that's my favorite. I'll have that one in rotation often.
I'll tell you delete, my favorite.
Delete, Erase, Unfollow. And No P-E-T-E-R. That's my favorite. And Bar One is the closing track on
Not
that.
Bar One.
I think that it is hilarious that Bar One is the closing track on that. You know, enough said. So those are just a few of the things that Messy Miles decided to give the internet, and I love him for it. So
did you see More Life?
Perfect.
I did see More Life. I did. I was going to ignore that
like
one.
Like Kenya Moore with
Kenya
two
Moore.
Oh, they my God.
More Life. More Life.
Genius.
Yes.
Well, that's a perfect segue into Dustin.
All right, this week in A Departure, we're going to talk about something really briefly that we haven't talked about yet, which is Little Women Atlanta.
I didn't know you were still watching.
Uh-huh. The Wait, reunion came on.
I just want to read the tracks for More Life.
Are you sure?
I just want to read a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Tired Mama Joyce Wig, Meditation or Medication. It's the Portia diss track.
Wow.
She couldn't get it right whether she wants to do meditation or medication. And my favorite one is Found Your Phone Yet featuring Vivica Fox. Because when Kenya Moore was on Celebrity Apprentice, that bitch knows she stole Vivica Fox's phone and tweeted from her Twitter.
Stole her phone?
Vivica Fox's phone came up missing on the show while they were recording. And her Twitter account mysteriously had tweets stating that she was going through menopause and some other things. And Kenya was blamed for it. And she was sitting up there bold-faced lying, saying she ain't do it. I mean, like, literally looking like she was trying to contain her laughter. Thanks a lot. More life. Back to you, Dustin Ross.
Okay, so, Little Women Atlanta.
Oh, damn.
I just think that it was a reunion that gave us the things that we love about reality show reunions. There was a fist fight. There were tons of great
insults. On the reunion?
Tons of great insults back and forth. Gowns, great gowns,
beautiful gowns.
Little Women in high heels. It was just great. It was a glorious reunion. I love the fact that one of the Little Women from the other franchise, the one that was on Dancing with the Stars, I can't think of her name, Haley something or whatever, she was the host. It was just dope. It was so good. Abira, who I really could not stand the entire time that she was on the show. Not entire time, because she was only there for like two or three episodes. But she was one of the greatest things to ever happen to a reality show reunion. Her insults were hilarious. The one-liners were hilarious. She was landing all her jokes and targets. It was just great.
I'm showing her what they were all wearing.
Shout out to, I hated the twins. I hate the way that they exploited Monty. Monty was so nice to everybody during the damn reunion. The twins, they kept asking the twins what they thought about Monty. I watched it. They kept asking the twins about what they thought about Monty's situation when she was touching that guy's arm, and they blew it out of proportion trying to cause problems for her. But I just think it's funny who gets the last laugh, because Monty has her wedding spinoff where we get to see the story play out. We get to see her marriage to Moreland. Her boyfriend's name is Marlon. She's Moreland. He spells it M-O-R-L-I-N, like Moreland. Moreland. But it was just great. The twins really bugged me. Minnie bugged me. Minnie wasn't even. You ever seen those people where they feel like if they're in a confrontation on film, they have to turn all the way up just for the sake of being able to say, "No, I said something to them. I got they." Mm-hmm. That's what Minnie does. She don't even be mad about the shit they arguing about, but she gets too deep, telling them, you know, it's like you insult me, I'm insult you. It gets to the point where she told the pregnant girl she was going to be waiting for her outside the hospital. When she had the baby, like, what? And over nothing, like, it wasn't even that serious. But her mother was there, who was an average-sized woman. gassing her up. And her mother threw water at Abira, the girl that Minnie fist fought, and it hit Monty. And so it was just a mess backstage. I'm telling you, the Little Women Atlanta reunion was the shit. So shout out to the Little Women Atlanta. They got renewed for season 4. I will be watching. This section is totally for the people that watch Little Women Atlanta too. So if not, you can go to the bathroom, whatever. But like, that's all we're talking about. So it was great. I really want Abira to come back on next season. I'm over the twins and their funky ass attitudes. They're so fake. And they were picking at Monty. And you know how I am about that kind of picking and pride and shit. Don't bother nobody. That ain't bothering you.
Right.
And they were going after Monty. So I'm there forever, you know, charred in my book. Who else? It was just great. Minnie's mama looked like Tamala Mann, like a evil, worldly Tamala Mann. That's what Minnie's mama looks like.
Oh, my God.
That's what she looks like. And she gets up there and she tries to fight those little women. And she's a big woman, too. Tall, like, and big. And like I just find it so, she's just tall. And I just find funny.
I thought you said, like, and big.
No, like E. And I just found it funny that she talked about their shoes and she had on flats. It was just a lot. So just watch the Little Women Atlanta reunion. Also, Basketball Wives, I cannot wait. Evelyn Lozada is back in the MFing house. And it's so good this time because it's not like she's bullying anybody. It's really going to be her letting Jackie Christie have it for old and new. In
she
my
found
book,
her target finally.
I feel like everything that she's getting her for is just, it's atonement for Jackie.
She finally found her target.
It is. And what I also don't like, Malaysia, where you at? I love you, Malaysia. I've been supporting you since day one, since season one, episode one. I've been supporting you, but where are you at? Why are you falling flat? Why are you saying things that aren't hitting and sticking and landing? Why are you allowing Evelyn, Tammy, and Shawnee?
I was like, Jocelyn's on?
Right, to ostracize you. Why are you letting this happen? This is your show. They're in L.A. That's your city. Run the show. Make yourself just do what you've done that's thus far that has made us love you. I don't like the way that I feel like she is letting them like get over on her.
Like how Bonnie Jill even got her.
And Bonnie Jill, she would have been the first one.
I was shocked Malaysia didn't give it to her. I thought Malaysia would have cutely said something to her, but
I'm going
to
let it slide until next week or till whenever we get that scene where she actually does confront Shawnee and Tammy. You know, but for now, I'm just like, Malaysia, what's up?
Because when Bonnie Jill first spoke out, I was like, ooh, Bonnie Jill better not be the new Susie out here. But then she got over and I was like, what?
I didn't like that.
I was
also
shocked.
I can't wait until next week on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta because I don't know if you watched it this week, but
I
in the
did.
Trailer for next week, Jessica Dime, who I cannot believe I'm eating my words and saying this, but I enjoyed Jessica Dime this season on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. She has totally cleaned up her act as much as she could. We ain't talking about bleach. We talking about Pine Sol. So she went as far as she could, but I have thoroughly enjoyed her. I've thoroughly enjoyed her. And the fact that next week she is going to grab Treasure, who I cannot stand, and ring her bell. Did you see her grabbing?
I did.
Woo! I can't wait. So, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. That's all. Y'all ready to move on?
Let's do it.
So, what do they have for us this week? We're asking as a friend.
That's what it is.
Asking as a friend.
Actually.
Blackshilly. Don't forget to email us as per usual at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. Here we go. This one is titled, Should I Go or Should I Go?
Well,
thank you for listening to The Friend Zone.
Hey, friends.
Hey.
I'm going to skip down where it says getting to the point. I like that. I'm in a great relationship and can really see a future with my boyfriend. He's super sweet and we're both very committed to one another. We both have good jobs and make a good amount of money on the side doing what we love. He actually has his own business, which is very successful, and he's in the career field, which he loves. I, on the other hand, hate my job and have been struggling recently just to get out of bed and go to work. I'm a freelance makeup artist on the side and really want to make a career of it by becoming certified and getting a business license. In order to do so, I have to leave the island that we're from to attend a school that can provide the prereqs needed. My boyfriend is completely against it, and at this point in my life, I'm not really about to put my aspirations aside for the sake of a relationship. I feel selfish for feeling this way and would really like some advice. I'm all for the long distance thing, but he's not, and I understand. Am I wrong for springing this on him? Is he being selfish by asking me to stay? Are we both selfish in our own way? Please help. P.S. I'm trying to leave in mid-August, and he's trying to convince me to stay or at least wait 6 months. I'm not trying to do neither.
Well, waiting 6 months, that's total bullshit. If he wants you to stay or wants you to go.
Don't
go for the open.
Just wait six months.
Yeah. Girl, you never leave. But no, I don't think he's being selfish or you're being selfish. I just think that this is something that's important to you and something that you want to do. It's a life-changing decision, and I don't think that it's selfish for you to want to do that. I guess what I'm confused about is the way that, I mean, you describe such a beautiful, you know, partnership between you and your boyfriend, and then in the very next breath, you're like, "But fuck that shit, I'm out." So what I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to tell the nigga? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, "Whoa!" So why is it so easy? But I get it because this is something that's that important to you. So I say go for sure. Tell, be as clear as you can to your boyfriend that you're in love and you are dedicated to making this relationship work. And just go. And if he can't get with the, if he can get with the program, great. If he can't, unfortunately, that's the, you know, part of the, that's the, called making a decision, making a choice. Yeah, you have to buy into the good and the bad that come along with whatever you do. It may be an unfortunate consequence. You know, it just may be. It just may be.
Mm-hmm.
You always go first.
I bring me bad bitch.
Seriously, I'm there. That's one thing I never really felt torn about when I was, like, younger. Did she say how old she was?
Mm-mm.
Like, I remember when I had to study abroad and leave to Brazil for a year, my boyfriend at the time was like, "You can't do that. Like, how are you going to just leave our relationship for a year?" And even his mom was like, "If you leave, it's, you know, it's only right that he's gonna go to other women to take care of him while you're gone."
Damn.
Yo, she was a little too real. And I left. I was like, "What? You think I'm not gonna experience this for a boyfriend? Like, what are you talking about?
If you leave me now."
Are you
kidding? Fuck that, I'm out.
And even going to college, like going away, you know, at the time, he was like, "What are you doing? How could you leave me?" And I was like, "Yes." Like, there's just some things that are logical. Like, you're not stopping me from my moves. Like, either you work around it and you and we make it work, like Dustin said. If we really are into each other, we'll make it work. And if you're not, then you don't. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But fuck you always that. Go get certified first. On Skype. No, I'm just playing.
Go nah, online make your moves.
Get
man.
On YouTube and get certified. Nah, I'm just playing. I mean, I think that you want to be just as happy and fulfilled as he is in his work and work life. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Just another piece of yourself you want to complete. So I'm kind of a friend on this, you know. Put yourself first. I wish I could do that. This is the simple fact that you're like, I don't want to do neither of these things. And the fact that you're getting sick, getting out of bed to go to work. Something's happening. Your body is telling you, "All right, girl, well, we don't want to be followers forever. So what you going to do?" So if you feel that you can smartly move out and do that whole thing and get certified, because that's just another tool for you to have, even, you know, down the road. It's not like you're just doing it short term and you can't do makeup ever again. You can always do makeup as a woman. So not as a cheetah woman, unless you do it
oh
wrong.
My God.
So put yourself first and hopefully he'll come second.
And as women too, we have to be cautious because people are used to us not putting ourselves first. As mothers, we sacrifice. As wives, we sacrifice. As girlfriends, we're always catering to men or our partners in general. So I think you have to nip that in the bud early. Get that out the way. Like, don't even allow yourself to fall into that routine.
I was literally, you know what? We're on the same page, I believe, because I was literally sitting over here thinking, like, and shout out to the red flag that was thrown in front of you by this nigga not wanting you to even go in the first place. Like,
right.
What you mean stay here for 6 months?
Just give me 6 months and I'm going to make you want to stay for years and years.
And I'm going to tell you something else.
When you wasted 6 more months.
What partner doesn't get hyped at the thought of you pursuing something
you
that
want.
Is going to, like, elevate you and your craft and your career,
give you
your
another
finances.
Another level.
One that don't trust you.
Right.
So selfish. Red flag again.
Or one that is afraid of what you excelling will mean to the relationship.
Yep.
Especially if he's not doing the same.
Yep.
Nope. Been there, done that.
You gotta go. And just tell him, like, look, nigga, I'm trying to make you look good in your casket. Okay? Tell him, who you think gonna make you up when it's time for you to go to the upper room? Me! That's who. Okay. Now, you want it to look right.
Don't call me when you ready to have your face beat for your first big television appearance right. for your business.
Your upper
okay?
room cracks me up.
And when rigor mortis set in, don't come calling me.
Nah, girl. Be out.
Well, that is all. Thank you so much for writing in. The Friend Zone at loudspeakersnetwork.com for all of your future inquiries. And we're going to move on to the Black Business of the Week.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Royston. We talked about Planet Organics and their salad dressing once before.
Yes, we did. I can't wait
and
to
they decided
this.
To send us some of their favorite flavors.
Oh, my damn.
Some of what are going to be our favorite flavors.
That's right.
I'm taking home all the bottles, okay?
I'm taking home the mango cayenne.
There are flavors ranging from raspberry oregano, watermelon basil, rosemary garlic, avocado, cilantro lime. And the company Planet Organics is from Royston and Shane. And they're the two founders that established this in September of 2016. We featured them once on the Black Business of the Week before, but go to planetorganics.com and take a look at them again. These are concentrated dressings and marinades that they're selling. So one serving is only half a tablespoon, diluted with a little bit of your favorite oil, whether it be olive oil, you have interest with some other ones. Just go ahead and try them. I'm going to try them tonight. Y'all know I'm still doing this pescatarian thing, so I picked some lemon garlic pepper, which I feel like would go tasty in a shrimp salad because I do miss my lemon pepper wings and chicken.
And it's dope because apparently they met in college. They were two student athletes who were trying to figure out how to eat healthier. And you know, if you've been to college, that is not the easiest thing to do with the food that you have available
right.
to you.
Yes.
So they created this on their own as ways to marinate the school meat, to marinate their salads. So I think that's pretty cool. I think it's innovative and interesting, and the combinations that they came up with are awesome. Like the ones,
yeah, these flavors, like that cayenne mango is gonna be popping.
And what was the garlic one?
Rosemary garlic.
Oh,
but
God.
They also have peppered grapefruit, chipotle lime, coconut ginger, orange sage. Yeah, these all sound delicious. He only sent us one of each bottle, so we can trade bottles every other week or something. Right? Or you can just cook.
I ain't gonna have none. I'm using my shit as a marinade.
Well, I'm gonna just come over and
you can have some of the chicken. Oh shit! So that's, I'll make you salmon.
I can eat that. Oh.
That's Planted Organics, PlantedOrganics.com.
And you can also like them on Facebook, Instagram, and tweet them on Twitter. There is no added salt, no gluten, and no preservatives. So if you got them issues, you ain't going to make this another issue.
Thank you, Planet Organics.
Thank you.
Support them, guys. Please. Black business. And that's it for this week's show. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
We have one announcement. I'm so excited. We will be in New Orleans for the Essence Fest.
Yay!
Look out for your crew. You know what I'm saying?
Yay!
We'll be on the ground doing the footwork.
At the Essence Festival. So if you see us, bring vegetables. I'm talking green.
Oh, God.
So we'll see you all in New Orleans, which you know is one of my favorite cities. I can't wait.
And you can drink everywhere.
Yeah, we're
going to
have so much fun.
You can drink everywhere. You can drink everywhere. I don't even care about drinking like that, but you can just drink everywhere.
Ooh.
Walking in the sleep CVS with a drink. I was like, oh, my God. I could just walk a drink.
I wish we could stay longer, though.
I know.
But it's okay. My God, we're going to have beignets high as hell. I can't wait.
So Essence Fest, we will see you guys there.
Yes.
Anything else, you guys?
Not yet.
Don't forget to catch me on the last few dates of KidFuryLive.com or Furious Thoughts Live. Go to KidFuryLive.com for those tickets. Again, the 9th is going to be Toronto. The 10th is going to be Washington, D.C. And the 11th is the last show, Charlotte, North Carolina. I love seeing all your faces out there. And if you come to any of those shows, do not forget to harass Fury's manager about seeing the Friend Zone live in your city. Whenever people are like, where Friend? Where Dustin at? I'm like, you see that lady over there? Go tell her you want the Friend Zone here and she gonna make it happen. Like, just be sending hordes of people. So if you're gonna run up and try to get a picture, get that picture quick and then go harass that lady right after. And that's it for me.
What about you, Friend?
Well, by the time you guys are listening to this episode, I will be in Kingston, Jamaica.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, no! be a black woman again?
Oh, no, you didn't. Yes, this, the melanin will be getting a re-up.
Here comes Friend in Black.
Right? Now that it's fading, it's going to get that re-up. So I'm excited about that. Of course, I'm excited about the wellness retreat. It's already sold out, which is exciting.
Yes.
Can't wait to see you guys. Kingston, you've always shown me so much love whenever I've had events there. So I'll see you on Sunday. The information should be in your email. If you didn't get that, of course, hit me, but I'm sure that you already did. And that's it for me now. Just for now.
I can't wait to see your tan, friend.
Ooh, the re-up. Yes. I hope it's good. I hope we have time. That's it. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode.
Yes.
You know what? We never tell people, go on iTunes, rate us, leave a comment.
Go on Facebook.
Go on our we have a Facebook. And also, the official hashtag of the show is the Friend Zone. Because you guys use hashtag Friend Zone Pod, hashtag
Friend Zone Podcast.
Right. So we miss out on a lot of your comments, but the official hashtag is hashtag the Friend Zone. Hit us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Spotify. SoundCloud, Spotify,
YouTube,
everywhere. So that's it. That's it for us. We love you guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Thanks again to Third Love for supporting this week's podcast. Make sure you're putting the fit first with Third Love. Third Love uses real women's measurements to create bras that fit better. Available in sizes AA through G, as well as their exclusive half cup sizes for that extra va-va-voom, if you know what I mean. Try one of Third Love's 24/7 bras free for 30 days. If it's not your new favorite, return or exchange it for free. Go to thirdlove.com/friend now and try Third Love free for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/friend. The best bra is one you never think about. And it's waiting for you at Third Love.
I like that.